all your favorite letters. CFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL. All on the RPS. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Thank you, Rick Reagan. Welcome to the RP Show on this Wednesday, June the 24th, in the year of our Lord 2020. I'm the host, Rod Peterson. He is the co-host, Darren DuPont. How are you, Dupes?
Doing well.
Where'd you get that shirt?
I don't know. I've had it for a while.
Did they have them in your size?
Is it too small? I have been eating a lot during the
pandemic.
Ready
to roll today?
Of course.
I'm ready to go off. I'm just waiting for the Hockey Hall of Fame announcement to come down. I actually thought that it would be have it been announced by now. Do we know the time?
I haven't seen the time. I would expect it.
Oh, not till 2:30 our time. Clark's telling me in my ear here this afternoon. Well, let me just jump right out of the box. I have a feeling I'm really going to entertain you folks here, particularly here in the Rolled Up for Flooring Superstore. But our poll question today, which we put together, and in within 10 seconds of thought, we came up with this for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center today. Who's the most worthy candidate for the Hockey Hall of Fame induction this year? And the nominees are Jerome Iginla, what did we say? Daniel Alfredson, Theron Fleury, and Marian Hossa. So that vote is up now. You can vote on it right now. And I'm interested to see. We have some votes coming in already. Who's leading? Oh, yeah, Theo.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
Well, listen, if it's not coming down until 2:30, this isn't even one of my show topics, by the way. But if it's not coming down until 2:30, should I wait until tomorrow? Because I think we all expect Theo's going to get snubbed. And it's my commentary on Cat Country 98 this morning, Deep South Radio, Cat Country 98 FM. That I didn't realize that there's a thing around Theo, a stigma. I didn't realize that. I just thought somebody on the selection committee doesn't like him. It happens. Whatever. He still has a Hockey Hall of Fame worthy career. And there's a stigma around Theo. I know that we went on this rant 24 hours ago, but I'm going to do it again. Because this is discrimination before our very eyes. Why? Because he's white, there's no outcry. He's a victim of child sex abuse. He's an addiction survivor. But they won't put him in because there's a stigma. Hashtag, I stand with Theo. I'm disgusted by this. And frankly, I don't think Theo's getting in because he's retweeting and liking all of our posts on Put Theo in the Hall. Do you know how it works with Hall of Fame inductions? You know ahead of time. So if Theo got the phone call from the Hockey Hall of Fame, said, hey, Theo, you're going in on Wednesday, June 24th. Can you keep a secret? He wouldn't be retweeting all of our stuff.
Yeah, probably not.
He'd be keeping his secret. Or as Glenn Suter likes to say, he'd be holding his water. So I'll say it again. It's discrimination in front of our very eyes. Where's the outcry? Am I right?
It's such a perplexing situation. Because
not to me, it's not.
The career is so good. The career is so good, and there's been so much accomplishment, and he's had to overcome everything to get there. It's not like it's been easy for Theo, and yet he's still not in the Hall of Fame. So that one, it's a head-scratcher for me, too, for sure.
There's guys in the Hall of Fame that don't have as good a career as Theron Fleury. So don't. My wife and I, she had to drop me off here because I had two vehicles here, as you know.
Yep.
Don't ask.
Oh, so that, but, okay. I was wondering
that's
how
why she dropped me off.
That.
And she said... She said maybe he doesn't meet the criteria. I'm like, stop. If anybody meets the criteria, it's Theron Fleury. No. And honestly, I wouldn't have thought anything about it until Gino Retta said on SportsCenter the other night, there's a stigma around Theo. And I'm like, oh, snap. It was like my dad when his eyes used to roll in the back of his head when he lost his mind. That was me. Sorry, I got that off my chest.
But I understand, like, you know, the sliding on the ice, different things. The attitude, when he was going through his troubles and then with the Rangers and things were going off the rails, I get it. You, at the time, you're not sitting there wanting to reward that with the Hall of Fame, right? But when you start to peel back the layers and understand what he was dealing with and how he was able to overcome that and the sexual abuse and the substance abuse and all of those things, and he overcame that, and now, you know, all the good work that he's doing and the numbers, like... You put it all together.
He's a hero.
It's a great story.
Lee Horton writes in. He says he pissed off teammates and coaches and GM, unfortunately. So what? It's about the career. I won't say which one, but one of the Sutters, and not Rich, said to me, the Hall of Fame has a lot of guys in there I wouldn't let walk my grandkids across the street because he pissed off his teammates. So what? You gonna make him pay for the rest of his life? That's what's wrong with hockey. It's what's wrong with society, not letting people off the hook. The guy's turned his life around, and there's a stigma? I know I'm way off the board on this.
No, because a big part of that is, okay, I get it. He did those things, so he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's not a second ballot Hall of Famer.
I'm not saying he is.
But eventually enough time passes that we can get over that. He's paid the price for those things, made amends, turned his life around, and away we go.
That's the hope. How long do you need to keep paying the price for these things?
Yes.
Especially when he has turned his life around. And he and I sat and talked about these things. I didn't think it would bother him because I'm like, Theo, you got the rings, you got the gold medal, you got all you need, you got the memories. But it still bothers him.
Yeah.
And that's when I got upset and probably too upset for Theo. But that's the whole concept of advocacy. I'm advocating for Theo, speaking for people that can't speak for themselves. Theo can. But he wants to stand up there and go, I should be in the Hall of Fame. He's not going to do that. So I'll do it for him. He's got a better career than Pavel Bure and Eric Lindros. Change my mind. Okay. Back on track. Thanks for being quick on the switch there, fellas, with the Raj Rand for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, your factory authorized Bryant Furnace dealer. Sean Lemon on the program today, the Lemonator, coming up real soon. Brett Kissel coming up, the country star who rocked Saskatchewan on Saturday night, Saskatchewan's Night Out, a triple header of drive-in shows. Super dude. He couldn't join us last week, but he's on today, which is fantastic. Part of the RP Show Summer Concert Series.
Yes. Sure.
It's coming. Rashawn Simonis, great Canadian wide receiver, and Joey Haywood of the Fraser Valley Bandits, which, by the way, I think you were with me and we watched them play. Remember that whole incident on their bench at the Rattlers
yes.
game? Do you remember that incident?
Yes.
I think I want to ask Joey Haywood about that. So let's go, Jordan, to the Quick Six Show Topics. Boom, boom, boom. The Quick Six Show Topics. Oh, Mike Richards' rant yesterday on Edmonton. Guess what? The Oilers called me last night.
People are getting testy.
Oh, yeah. And they said, hey, we heard that you ripped us. Did we do something to you? And I'm like, let me send the clip. So I sent the clip. And the guy from the Oilers said, well, somebody that was watching your show said you ripped us. And I said, there's no way Rod would do that. Rod wouldn't do that to us. And he was right. And he goes, well, somebody in Saskatchewan, a sports guy, sent this to me. And so the question would be, Darren, am I upset that somebody's sending false information around about me? What do you think the answer is?
Hell no.
I'm not. I mean, it's been going on my whole life. At least now in 2020, you can prove otherwise. So I sent him the clip of Mike Richards, and the guy immediately called me and said, no, it was all him. It was all him. I said, would you mind just spreading it around Edmonton that it wasn't me? So as much as I laugh with Mike and we give people the open floor.
Yeah.
Why would somebody do that? Just to get me in trouble.
You're an Oiler fan. Because
yeah.
It's somebody from Edmonton or whatever, somebody, and they get upset, right? I seen the replies. Well, actually, Edmonton's the second sunniest place in Canada, according to worldatlas.com.
Right.
Like, anybody can go to www.imright.com and find a stat to back up their argument, no matter what
sure.
side they're on.
Can
right?
we just laugh? Just laugh. Just go with it. It ended up being, when my phone call was up, I looked down, 45-minute phone call on
wow.
all of these things.
Yeah.
But it was nice. The Oilers are paying attention. Which brings me to point two. I had a dream last night. The Montreal Canadiens will take game one of their first round series with the Pittsburgh Penguins. They'll score in overtime on a goal that's 10 feet offside. I saw it last night. I was in the building. He was 10 feet offside, and I'm looking around at all the officials. They were all skating the other way, not looking. It was
wow.
a premonition.
Wow.
At the risk of sounding like Martin Luther King or Tom Shepard, I had a dream last night. I'm not joking. So put it in the bank.
All right.
If you want to go lay some money down.
You had me until the offside, though, because it's got to somebody would challenge it, right?
Oh, but they didn't. That's the thing.
That exists.
Everybody's like, throw the flag, throw the flag. Just telling you.
All right.
Montreal will take game one, 1-0 on a disputed overtime goal. But they'll win it. They'll get it. Point three. NFL. Oh, here we go. Nelson Hakowicz, our VP of Sim Events, writes in and he says, it's great that you have those relationships with those teams so they can clear the air with you. The old horse's mouth theory. What did I write in my column Sunday? It's so nice that teams can, or coaches or players can pick up the phone, call me, and get right to the heart of the matter and know they're going to get the truth.
Yeah.
And the other thing with digital media now, here's the proof right here. Not have to sit there for an hour pleading your case. Yeah, proof right there. But hey, I admire the orders, but they got chutzpah. They got a backbone. They'll call. Anyways, point three, NFL coverage is exciting. Like, I'm watching it this morning on ESPN Get Up, and they're saying, hey, if your number one quarterback went down with coronavirus, and they're serious, Darren.
Oh, yeah.
Who is in the best position, if that's the case in the NFL? Who are the top five teams in the best position? Sorry to say your Titans aren't one.
They are not. They are not. They don't have a backup. I mean, no. They do, but Logan Woodside's not that. Dallas.
Dallas Cowboys, number one. Dan Orlovsky feels right? That way.
They're up there for sure.
Cleveland was up there. Case Keenum's backing up Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. The Saints,
yeah,
because they got Jameis Winston. Obviously, the Atlanta Falcons.
Baltimore has RG3 behind.
Oh, and there, by the way, this was the thing. It's like, if this happens,
yeah,
and every team loses their starting quarterback, and Colin Kaepernick still isn't called, you know there's a conspiracy against him.
Every team.
Right, so I'm just sitting there going, this is fun to be talking about this stuff.
Sure it is.
Don in Ottawa's watching. He says, Dallas, Dalton. That's right. We got the red rifle. And now, with Dakota Prescott signing the franchise tender this week, we know Dak's going to start in week one. But we got the red rifle on the bench at a bargain of $3 million a year. A Pro Bowler.
Oh, yeah.
This will be the year the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, or should win the Super Bowl, and it's taken down because of a virus.
Yeah.
That is so Cowboys history-ish, circa the last 20 years.
I know.
Point four, Major League Baseball returns, if you believe it. 60 games beginning July 23rd or 24th. I saw our boy Evan Dom from Canada West tweeting, I'll believe it when I see it, or just wake me up for first pitch. Did you see his tweet?
Yeah.
I'm of that ilk, too, but at least they've all agreed they want to play. The question now is, getting onto the field from a health and safety, but at least they want to play.
Yeah, but quickly, too. They're supposed to report to camps next Wednesday. So it's going to be a quick turnaround. It's too far gone for me. I'll tell you, like, the stuff that's gone on with baseball, it's so far out of my mind and so far out of anything that I'm interested in right now. It's going to take something to get me back to watch the games.
I know. I'll watch. I mean, like I said, I've been reading the coverage, hearing the names. I'm like, I do miss these guys. George Springer, Marcus Stroman, even though I don't like Stroman. I like to not like Marcus Stroman. You know,
yeah,
it's a story.
Mean. Yeah.
Point five, the Bubba Wallace situation. That actually came up at our morning meeting this morning. So they say the noose that was found in his garage was a door pull like any other door pull. But Paul, the great Paul, sorted out that it was not just like any other door pull. It was the only noose door pull in the string of garages. So as Bubba Wallace said last night on CNN, which I saw, it's still a noose. Bubba's doubling down. And do you think he is not subjected to racism on any other day anyways? It's not just about the noose. So I applaud Bubba for not standing down. It looks bad. You had to bring in the FBI to figure this out? That the noose was this big? But I guess they wanted an independent investigator, and why not bring in the FBI?
I guess.
And it's funny, by the way. This is hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious, but the offshoot kind of is. The president of NASCAR comes out and goes, oh, thank God this is all that it was. It's like when your $10,000 entertainment system at home is broken and you bring in a repair guy and all he does is unplug it and plug it back in and it works. You going to get mad or just go, oh, that's all that it is?
Right.
It's relief. It's a relief. It's not embarrassment.
It's relief.
It's the same situation to me. Or am I completely off base?
No. It's such a it's so complex. But yeah, I mean, from their standpoint, he's sitting there wondering, how are we going to get through this? How am I going to get over this? Where is the problem? And especially if they can't find a problem, if they can't figure out who it is, but to come up with the reason that, like, you know, yeah, I'm starting to get the stereo analogy, because you'd rather have them come and say, Rod, just needed to plug it in rather than we don't know where the problem is. Right.
Right.
So I get that. That's relief for sure. And if it takes the FBI to figure that out, I think you're okay with it.
Some of the problems with my home entertainment system, it would take the FBI to figure out. I'm sharing the show, by the way, to all my customary Facebook groups, not being rude. Point six, week three sim storylines. It's been decided by our poll yesterday for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Canada's game of the week is Saskatchewan at Hamilton Thursday night, 5 p.m. SAS time, between 5 and 5:30. We will have a national anthem singer. We'll have a halftime act as part of the RP Show Summer Concert Series.
Yes.
Grey Cup preview, we think, Saskatchewan at Hamilton. You've come up with the slogan for the Ticats, hashtag unfinished business.
Yeah.
I've come up with a slogan for the Riders, hashtag bring it home.
I've seen the...
What do you think?
I think it's great. I've seen the first renderings of the game day poster that'll be released this afternoon.
Okay,
so.
I love it. So that's tomorrow night. You can watch on this very Facebook channel, Saskatchewan at Hamilton, computer simulation broadcast. But the big week three storyline is this. They're very upset in Ottawa that Paul Appelese has not updated the media yet on the status of one Nick Fatty Arbuckle, their quarterback, who went out in the first quarter last Saturday in Edmonton. They went on to lose the game. Dominic Davis could not pilot them to victory. And we have not had an update from the Red Blacks on the health status of Nick Arbuckle, which tells me it's serious.
Yeah.
So it's a situation to watch, and Ottawa has the bye here in week three. Couple things. The rock star of the day yesterday was Wally Buono for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. No surprise there. The CFL All-Decade Team, the Canadian Football League, has invited me. Thank you so much to vote on that. It's an honor, I told them. I voted for Bo Levi Mitchell as the All-Decade quarterback. Don't at me. I did it.
Proud of you.
You're welcome. It's a different time.
That's a big, selfless act to do.
And truth. He won three Grey Cups.
Right.
I looked at my finger hovered over the Darian Durant option. I'm like, he didn't even play for half the decade.
That was the previous decade.
Right. So you're welcome, Bo. Kings Park Speedway. Now I got the media getting a hold of me. How to get a hold of them? Because the media wants to go out and cover their season opening race, July 18th and 19th.
Yeah.
Pat Fiacco and I will be dropping the green flag. So some sports are going, by the way. They tried to, you know, wiggled a way around it, found a way to do it. And I admire them for doing that. And I'm so happy that they asked us to be a part of it. Oh, Jeff the Stamps fan says, no doubt Bo is the all-decade quarterback. End of story. Won three Grey Cups, lost two.
Always got to remember that.
Roger Yee, holy crap, I almost spit out my coffee. You voted for Bo? See, that's the point. Nolan McMillan for best offensive lineman ever, writes Brooke Meisner. I voted for Nolan, by the way, who's become a personal friend, current Ottawa Red Blacks offensive lineman. Bo's only won two Grey Cups. Has he? 2014, 2018. I'd have to add it up. He's only won two?
I guess. I'd have to look back, too.
Name me somebody who's won more. Ricky Ray? Oh, wait a minute. I need to rethink this.
Cancel the ballot.
Wait a minute. Yes. Cancel the parade. We'll be back with Sean Lemon. Maybe he can sort it out. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore. And the Trent Dickin crew over there, the Dickin family, we love them like the Dickens. Oh, just wait. Robbie Emery says, how many Grey Cups has Damon Allen won? It's not the point. It's just for the last decade. It's just for the last decade, okay? 2010 to 2019. And you can vote, too, at CFL.ca. What? He's only won two.
Won two, lost three.
I rescind my vote! Is it too late, CFL? Can we rewind? We'll talk to the Lemonator when we come back. Brett Kissel coming up, too. It's the RP Show on a Wednesday morning. Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show continues after this on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Just ahead of the Lemonator, who the boys tell me he's got a strong connection. They just can't hear him. That's a problem. I'll do a sports update here. And ahead of that, Rylan Becker says that reaction was amazing. Highly entertaining. Darren's right. He won two, but he lost three. And we can debate this all damn day. Ricky Ray had 1,000 batting average in Grey Cups in the... Is it too late? Well, I guess once you mark the box and put it in the thing.
It's in there. Right. Ricky Ray won two. And you corrected me. Kevin Glenn quarterbacked that first Calgary loss in 2012.
But Bo was on the roster.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
There's a poll question for tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about it on the CFL Sim broadcast tomorrow night, Thursday Night Football.
Interesting.
Actually, Sean Lemon, when we get him, and you guys tell me when he's ready, he can maybe settle the score on who's the quarterback of the past decade. I did vote for Bo, but 2-2 as a starter is not anything to write home about, as they would say in Milestone.
No.
Sports update. Baseball is back. Major League Baseball issued a 60-game schedule last night that will begin July 23rd or 24th in empty ballparks. The announcement comes as players continue to test positive for the coronavirus, including seven with the Philadelphia Phillies. LA Lakers guard Avery Bradley will sit out the NBA's upcoming resumption of the season in Florida. Bradley wants to remain with his wife and three children, including a six-year-old son with a history of respiratory illness. The decision will cost Bradley about $650,000 U.S. in salary. SJHL President Bill Chow tells the website NortheastNow.com that the league has submitted a return-to-play proposal to the Saskatchewan Hockey Association. Chow said the league plans to begin play in the fall and is hoping to follow the WHL model of 50% capacity in arenas. Chow said no 2020-21 schedule has been finalized. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. We are open. Stop in today at the corner of Rysdale and Pasqua. I'll see you boys on Friday. I got a lunch meeting there. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. We got the Lemonator now. Let's bring him in. Sean, appreciate your continued support of this. By the way, where are you joining us from today, my man?
I'm in Orlando, Florida. I'm at home in Orlando, Florida.
Okay, well, hey, so many things to go through with that. Is the city buzzing with the NBA coming and the MLS and everybody else? What's the city saying?
Well, I can't tell you what the city's saying because I've been at home. You know, I work out at home. I go run in the field in front of my neighborhood. So I haven't had a lot of contact with a lot of guys. Just kind of, you know, being safe about things and going about stuff.
So, but is Orlando excited or are they thinking? Because when there was talk of the NHL maybe playing in Saskatoon, Saskatoon was like, well, we don't want to bring this here. So I'm just saying, is there any of that in Orlando?
Well, you know, I haven't heard people say anything bad about it. The good thing is that the location that they have, it's an isolated campus, so they won't really have too many contact with the, you know, if they do it the right way, it's an isolated campus. I do understand both sides of things. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, okay to see some sports. I think that kind of sports kind of brings the country and the world together. So I think that'll piece a lot of things together as long as they're safe about it and everyone's safe.
Thank you, Sean. So with that update, so you've seen the CFL has taken voting now for the all-decade team. And by the way, I did vote for you. That's a slam dunk. But the quarterback, friendships aside, who is the all-decade quarterback of the CFL?
I'd say Ricky Ray. It's just he's won with, you know, he's from worst to first. He's won with, you know, how the rosters are opposed to the rosters. I would say Bo Levi second. So look at the rosters in the Toronto Argonauts opposed to the rosters in Calgary. A consistent group, a consistent defense. Ricky's won with you know, a lot of different players, a lot of different guys. So I'd say Ricky Ray is the guy for that.
I'll tell you what. By the way, Jack Fulton's watching in Vulcan, Alberta. He says, Rod, say hi to Sean. I called him the Eliminator when he was in Calgary. Was Jack the only one that called you that?
No. In high school, the guy for the high school sports show, he started calling me that, and I just kind of, you know, I like the Eliminator better, so I just went with that.
I like Eliminator. I like them both. But, you know, Ricky Ray could have been for the decade before that, too, by the way, because he won two Grey Cups, too. So, whatever. I voted for Bo, and I can't take it back. So, whatever. Is there any talk amongst you and your guys about this poll, by the way? Because there are some players openly campaigning to vote for them. Have you seen that on social media?
Talks, and I just hope that fans look at it as a body of work. Let's not just look at, you know, let's not be prisoners of the moment. Like, oh, this guy had a great season last year. Let's look at the whole body of work. Let's look at games played. Let's look at the stats. And let's just have fun with it. You know, it's the only football we have right now. I think it's fun to keep everybody talking about football and talking about sports. So, you know, I'm all for it. Yesterday, I cracked a few jokes beforehand. Then I started thinking about it. Like, yo, this is the only football we have. So, you know, it's all fun and games. And I'm sorry, my dog Dallas. So spoiled, he just wants to get some camera love as well too.
Is your dog's name is Dallas?
Yes, it is.
What's the origin of that name?
Well, I grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan. Dallas's birthday's Monday, so he'll be 11 on Monday. So his name's been Dallas since. I grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan my whole life.
I'm going to talk to you about the Cowboys in a second then, but just somebody wrote, Colin in Ottawa wrote in and said, who would be your choice, Sean, for the offensive lineman of the decade since you went against them all? Who was the toughest for you to beat? Let's go guard and tackle.
Guard and tackle. Easily, I would say Stanley Bryant for tackle. You know, the resume speaks for itself. He's been nothing but a professional. His play has never dropped off. He went to from a Grey Cup winning team in 2014 to Winnipeg in 2015. So they went from one of the worst franchises at the time as far as winning wise, and then now they win a Grey Cup there. So he's won a championship from a team that's already set and been good, and he's won a championship with the team that rebuilding got to that level. And at guard, I would say Brandon Labatt. I have a lot of respect for his game. He's produced for a number of years in the CFL. He's battled a lot of injuries, but when he always comes, his play never seems to stop. So I have a lot of respect for his game as well.
Those are the two that I voted for. Robbie Emery writes in and says, say hi to Sean from Rob Emery from the 2017 Argos. I was known as Little Pistol. Do you remember Little Pistol? There you go. There you go. Just said hi. So to you, Sean, I know you seemed somewhat upset that you didn't have a contract here. It's similar to the Derek Dennises of the world. There's a lot of guys in your boat. Darrell Mitchell is another. Or Darrell Walker, sorry. I always get the two confused. Are you kind of glad now you didn't? How are you looking at things as a CFL free agent, given the climate of the league?
Well, I'm excited, man. I hope there is a season this year. Everything happens for a reason. The cream always rises to the top, so to speak. And with the shortened season, you don't really have that learning curve for rookies to come in and produce, especially when you got a guy at home like such as Darrell Walker, Derek Dennis, myself, Odell Willis, and those guys that, proven, and Manny Arsenal as well, proven production. So you don't have that time to learn. If you go with the younger guy, most of the time the learning curve in the CFL is very different. So 3 to 4 games, you're already out of playoff contention if you lose those games. So I feel like a lot of us veterans will get phone calls and we will have opportunities. So kind of got to look at the glass half full in situations like this.
By the way, Robbie Emery says that he played for the Ottawa Rough Riders in 1991, played end guard, and obviously is an Argos fan and around the club, Little Pistol. Sorry to interject on that. But I guess, Sean, how much is money a factor? We had an analyst on here yesterday saying CFL players are going to have to decide what's the minimum that you're willing to play for. It's a little different than Major League Baseball, NFL, and so forth. I mean, how much are you guys talking about the money factor? Because it's ruling the major leagues. How big of a factor is it in the CFL?
Most of money is always a factor. You look at the effect that it's having on us that we're not having sports. So it shows you how much we value sports. So if you value it and you watch it all the time, and this is a part of your weekly routine, and a lot of people play fantasy sports and they win money to play those fantasy sports. So why not pay the product on the field as well? So we need to be valued and taken care of in this opportunity as well, because for the years, CFL has always, the players have always been on the short chain of things. So you're going to have a shortened season for us to take care of that will help take care of a lot of players' body. But I feel like we should, finally get compensated the way we should be compensated as players.
John in Edmonton wants to know how confident you are that the CFL can survive this pandemic. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm very confident. CFL has been around for over 100 plus years for a reason. It's a very smart business move. And just because a company or goes to the government and asks for funding in a situation like this necessarily mean that the company is struggling and short on cash. So it's the time of a lot of big time companies, major corporations have went to the government and received government funding because they're still losing money in this time. But that doesn't mean that they don't have any money. So I think that we can work this out and get things resolved.
Very positive. Now, you mentioned working from home. What are you doing outside football right now?
Glad you asked that. I did launch a TV streaming app called Lemon TV. I know you guys probably see it on social media. I've been promoting it.
I did. Yeah.
I've been working with that and just doing some personal training some clients, one-on-one clients that I've had, like just kids and stuff, just still keeping my social distance and working with pass rush stuff and doing some Zoom calls with kids and helping them out with pass rush over Zoom and stuff like that. So that's been going pretty good. But Lemon TV is something that I've just recently launched. Over 10,000 channels, over 16,000 movies. It's been going pretty good. A lot of clients in Canada love it. A lot of clients in the States love it. We've been open for about 3-4 weeks now. So if anybody's interested, just reach out to me via social media, and we can get you guys with a trial and try it out.
Yeah, Sean is on all social media platforms. It looks really cool, by the way. Way to go, Sean. But I know you're going to be a success no matter what you do. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if you want to touch this, but it's fun, and it's on a Wednesday morning. What the hell? Why not? Nelson says, what was the story behind Lemon's tough time in Saskatchewan? Let me just interject. Do you remember that regular season game, Riders at Argos, when you and Jones were snipping at each other, coming off the sidelines, and our guys are like, this is awesome! Do you want to get into that now, or is enough water gone under the bridge?
Always about things. It's, when you come to a situation and you sign with a franchise, and when you talk about things in negotiation, I take those things to heart, and I feel like the role I'm going to be playing when I come there, because you, as the head coach or the general manager, said that's the role I'm going to be. That's the only reason I came there. So if I trust you to put my livelihood in a situation where I'm coming to your team to fulfill the role that I signed to fulfill and the obligations weren't there, we just didn't see eye to eye. But I have a lot of respect for Coach Jones. He runs a great system. He wins everywhere he goes. He single-handedly turned that whole franchise around in Saskatchewan by handpicking the guys, bringing the scheme together. And sometimes, you know, it's not the player and it's not the coach. You just don't bump heads. You bump heads sometimes and you don't fit the scheme and things like that. But things worked out for me. Going to a city that got traded to a city that I grew to love at the time. I had 14 sacks that season, so it doesn't say a diminished on my end as a player, and it doesn't say a diminished on Coach Jones' end. It just says sometimes players and coaches grow apart from each other in this scheme senses of things.
How many days into camp was it before you realized this isn't going to work?
Well, it was like probably like day four, when every time we would go for a pass rush and the D-line would go down to one end, and the 7-on-7 will go to the other end, I started to realize that I haven't really been doing too much one-on-one pass rushing. So, and I understand, when you set your contracts up in the CFL, you have some incentives in there. So if I have a contract base to be a pass rusher, and I'm getting paid to get after the quarterback, and I'm dropping in coverage, at the end of the year, it's going to look like my production has dropped because I haven't been getting to the quarterback. Not that you dropped in coverage a certain percentage of time and your numbers have dropped. They only look at those total of numbers. So you got to kind of, you know, protect yourself as the player as well. And I just felt like the earlier the better. If the earlier I can get out of this situation, because it doesn't look like I'm going to be fulfilling the role that I thought I was going to fulfill. And, you know, sometimes things work out in business that way. But me and Coach Jones, we have a mutual respect. Actually, we text each other from time and time now again. And just the trash talking on the field, that was just fun. Like, it brings out that he's a fiery guy, and a lot of coaches do stuff like this. Coach Milanovic, he's the same way. Who's the coach in Edmonton last year? Head coach at Edmonton.
Moz.
He's the same way as well.
Moz.
Yeah, he's a lot of like that. So, you know, it's fun, man. It keeps the – it's no disrespect. There's no – you know, it's just – it's part of the game.
Yeah, and as you said, it worked out for both. Jones is sitting in the NFL right now. You've won Grey Cup since. It's worked out for both. Hey, last question. Next time you come on, we'll spend more time on the Cowboys because it's looking like there will be a season. How do you feel about the fact that Dak, Zeke, and Amari Cooper are referred to as the triplets? Because I'm a Cowboys fan, Sean, myself. And I'm like, they're not the triplets until they do something, like the last triplets. Or do you feel they should be called the triplet? How do you feel about that crew in Dallas with that nickname?
I just feel like a lot of us as society, we like to relive the past. If we get one little skimp of, oh, man, they remind me of this group. Now, you know, I'm not going to crown them the triplets until you got at least won a playoff game. So,
exactly.
Very passionate. Boys, like I said, my dog's name is Dallas. So, you know, I feel like they have the roster to do it. It's just, you know, you got to come together. I feel like they got a pretty good head coach who can take Dak's game to the next level if we can get him to show up to camp or if he shows up this season. So it's going to be interesting to see. And the running game's been there. They have the personnel to do it. It's just after a while, potential only lasts so much. And now it's time to put up. It's time to, you know, go out here and do what you're, you know, being paid to do.
There's a lot of Cowboys fans out there. There's a lot of Cowboys fans watching. And, I mean, last year, everybody was saying this is the most talented Cowboys team since the 95 Cowboys. And they didn't make the playoffs. And Jason Garrett lost his job. And it's like, guys, we can't. The coach lost his job. And, yeah, you got Mike McCarthy in there. It's on the players this year. That's all that I'm saying. So Garrett got blamed. You're not going to blame Mike McCarthy if it doesn't work this year. Lemonator, thank you. Anything else before we let you roll?
Yes, I want to give a special shout-out to the CFLPA. They've been doing an amazing job, and I want to give a shout-out to Solomon Elimini, and he's been doing a good job communicating weekly with the players and letting us know steps, whether it's good news, bad news, or no news. All communication as well, and you're in a sensitive situation like we're in right now, and I definitely want to give those guys a congratulations and a shout-out for, you know, just keep up the good work, and we know you're working hard for us, and we greatly appreciate everything you guys are doing because you guys have been, you know, putting in the hours to make sure things are right for us. So greatly appreciate that, guys.
Nice positivity and a great way to end the chat. Sean, thanks. Stay safe and hope to see you out in the field soon.
No problem. Thank you.
Sean Lemon from Orlando, Florida, checking in this morning. We do have to break. I should tell you the Prairie Mobile text line is open. You can reach us at 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. And I'm going to check the poll results, dupes. Where is it? For Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Who's the worthiest Hockey Hall of Fame candidate? Leading the vote on Twitter is Jerome Aginla. Second, Theo Fleury. And tied for third and fourth are Daniel Alfredson and Marian Hossa. So that'll be up for 24 hours.
Could you imagine the Flames Hall of Fame class with Aginla and Fleury going in together?
It's just perfect. I just don't think Theo's going in. We will take a break and be back. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. All right, all right. This is a special treat. I just want to tell you, by the way, coming up on the program, former Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, CFL free agent wide receiver, Rashawn Simonese, Joey Haywood of the Fraser Valley Bandits. And now I get to dig back into my old DJ days, Darren. You know that I was a country music DJ back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And it's our pleasure to welcome Warner Music Canada recording artist Brett Kissel, country music sensation, joining us on video chat today. Mr. Kissel, good day. How are you, sir?
Country singing sensation? I haven't heard that one, but I like it.
You've never heard that before. I don't believe that for a second. Of all the introductions that you've had, nobody else has said that?
Not sensation. I grew up on a farm, so I've been called a lot of things. In fact, my Grandpa Bear, whom I love with all my heart, after I played the Big Valley Jamboree in Alberta, I wanted to sleep in and kind of get out of doing morning chores. And Grandpa Bear literally said, "Wake up, you ain't no country star on the farm." So this sensation thing is something I can't wait to tell him.
No kidding. That sounds exactly like my dad. I think we grew up on the same farm. Yours, Flat Lake, Alberta. Mine is Milestone, Saskatchewan. But it reminds me of my dad ripping the covers off. I don't care that you played hockey last night. Get your ass out there and feed the cows. Same thing. Anyways, Brett, thanks so much for what you did in Regina Saturday night. The triple header of drive-in shows, all sold out in minutes. Were you having as much fun as it looked like you were and all the people out in the crowd?
Yeah, absolutely. It was an extraordinary time to, you know, bring everybody together, even though we had to, you know, be safe and responsible and keep everybody apart with physical distancing. I truly believe that the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder, is such a true depiction of everything that we felt on Saturday. And we made up for lost time. Everybody's been cooped up. It was so great to get on stage again for me and my band, but also have the opportunity to interact and feel the energy from a sea of vehicles that went, you know, far back as the eye could see.
Did you, how much was your heart pumping? Did you tear up a little bit when you saw all those people in the backs of their trucks honking their horns and so forth? Because all that pent up, it's all around the world, but just here in Saskatchewan, yeah. People came from all across the prairies for those shows. How did it make you feel on stage that, you know, you were such a big part of that? And of course, not to mention Tough People Do, you know, just was such a perfect anthem. I mean, take me inside feeling.
Well, exactly. That's the song that actually really, really got it for me. And it's sometimes hard to contain your emotions when for so many months, and to be honest, you listen to the media, you turn on the news, and there's a lot of darkness going on in the world right now. And so in history, the way I'll describe it, in history, music and country music also in particular has brought people together. Whenever something bad happens in the world or some darkness falls over planet Earth or the prairies or your city or your community, whatever it may be, music is there to bring people together. Well, that is the one thing that we can't do right now. We can't bring people together in mass gatherings. We can't have a Farm Aid like they did in Texas. You can't have a Live Aid like you did in the 80s. You can't have a big concert like you did, you know, for 9/11 in celebration of the lives that are lost and the American spirit or the Canadian spirit. Well, we figured out a way to do that in Regina and bring everybody together, raise money for the food bank, and I think just elevate the spirits of the province. And we did that through music. So it was very emotional, something I didn't expect would hit me as hard as it did. But I got to be honest with you, Rod, it really did. And I broke down during that song, Tough People Do, as people are honking their horns or people are standing up and essentially giving like a standing ovation through their sunroof, which was unique in its own.
That's absolutely amazing. And by the way, you mentioned sports. I want to get to your love of the Oilers and the CFL. But I will also say this. I've been in the George Strait fan club since I was 12 years old, Brett, and I've seen every single...
I knew you were a good one. Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, I've seen everybody. And I saw you at Buffalo Days / Queen City X a couple years ago in the Brand Center, and I'm like, this is as good a show as I've ever seen, and I've seen them all. So can you please tell me, when you're planning a show, what all goes into it? I'm talking about your set list, your antics, what you're going to say, and then was it different for Saturday night's drive-in show? Did you have to tweak it a little bit?
Well, that's a great question. We put a lot of time and energy, focus and attention into planning all of our tours and all of our shows. For example, I remember vividly a few Augusts ago when we played at the Queen City X, how excited we were to, you know, do an arena show. So as you're touring, you want to make sure that every show is unique and specific to that market. So a lot of things that we did in Regina, we didn't do in Merritt, BC the night before, and we didn't do in Big Valley Jamboree the night after. But we made sure it was very special, which is why we love getting out and performing live in what we call the normal way. That being said, when you're doing a drive-in concert, first, we're understaffed because for physical distancing and even government regulations, I can't have the staff of 20, 30 and the team that I usually have because we can't all travel together. We can't all be together. We have to maintain that distance. So we're actually, it's like we've got an arm tied behind our back with what we can accomplish, which makes everybody have to pull double or triple duty, which also add to the reason why these drive-in concerts are so special, because they're actually twice as big and there's five times as many rules that you need to follow with this time. And you're doing it with maybe a quarter of the staff and the team. So it's a tremendous undertaking, but something that me and my entire band and crew are willing to do because we know the benefit that this is going to be for the community. We also know how cooped up we are, and we don't really care. We just want to get out on stage and play.
Boy, your voice is still struggling. I was worried about you Saturday night, if you were going to be able to get through it. Thank God you did. And thanks for doing this interview, by the way, right now. I won't keep you too much longer. John in Edmonton wants to know, do you have any more drive-in shows planned?
You know, we've been talking with each municipal government as well as provincial government, because without their support and essentially their green light, there's nothing we can do. So we've spoken to the government in Manitoba, the government in British Columbia. There are a lot of communities that want us to come out and play. We just need to figure out all the next steps and the proper precautions that we need to take, because each province is different. Are there more? We sure hope so. But as of now, we're going to take a quick break after our shows in Saskatoon, and we're going to think about our next steps for the rest of Canada.
Okay, just two last questions. This is from producer Clark, and I'll double up on it. He says, you sang the anthem for the Oilers during the playoff run. How intense was that as an Alberta boy? And I'll piggyback that with, I was watching the Oilers in Nashville. You went on with Gene Principe in your Kissel Oilers jersey, and it was like the next night the Tornadoes hit Nashville. So maybe just your love for the Oilers and your association with them, how does that feel?
Well, that's easy to talk about. I mean, how much time do you have? I'll talk about Oilers all day, every day. I love the organization. I love the team. And to be honest, as my career has progressed and we've been able to spend a lot of time with some of the great players, the friendships that I've built with guys, and especially a great Regina boy, and Jordan Eberle is one of my best friends. It's very, very special when you get to have hockey and country music collide. So when I was asked to do the anthem, a real funny story, Bob Nicholson, as you know, is the CEO and president of the team. He said, hey, do you want to come and do these anthems in 2017? And I said, absolutely. And he asked kind of, you know, what I would charge. And I said, nothing. I just want to, you know, come and do it for the Oilers. And this is my only stipulation. I would like 4 playoff tickets for free. And I would like a ring when you win the Stanley Cup. And of course, I'm saying that via text and thinking he's either going to be really mad that I've asked for a Stanley Cup ring, or he's going to laugh. And what he wrote back was, do you realize how hard it is to give tickets away to a playoff game in Edmonton? I can't give you 4, but I can guarantee you a ring if we win it. So I thought, okay, that's awesome.
That's Drake got one with the Raptors, man. You are the brand ambassador of the Oilers, and I definitely think you should get a ring. Not if, when the Oilers win the Stanley Cup. And by the way, Brett,
well, it's been 30 years, Rod. It's been, and we deserve it, and we're going to win it this year. You're hearing it here on your program. We're going to win it.
Guaranteed win day from Brett Kissel. And just from producer Clark, he says, Brett has a song called Cecilia, which came out right after our daughter Cecilia was born. It was the anthem to her first few months of life. Thank you, Brett. I thought her name was Cece. Clark.
Well, I know, I love it. And I call my wife Cece all the time. It's a gorgeous name. It's a beautiful name from the past. And I can tell already that your Cecilia, producer Clark, is probably stunning and probably the most perfect little girl in the world. So I'm honored I was able to sing that song for her.
I hear an applause going up from the production room back here. So, Brett, listen, I could go on all day, but I can tell you're struggling too, so I'll let you go. Take care of that thing, your moneymaker. Thanks for what you did here for Saskatchewan, and good luck with your career. It's been so much fun to watch. It's just going off like a meteor. So thanks for your time, and keep it up.
I appreciate it. Thank you, and have a good day.
Brett Kissel joining us from, I should have asked where. I think he's in Alberta. I wouldn't think he'd gone back to Nashville, but doesn't really matter. But he is guaranteed the Oilers will win the Stanley Cup. Ooh, did you... Actually, I'm glad that we went down that road, because I was reading that article yesterday. I posted it to our website, rodpeterson.com, about what Sportsnet's going to do in the playoffs. Did you see any of... I don't know if you had time to read any of that article.
Yeah, all the different things. Camera... There's some great camera angle opportunities and things like that.
Oh, yeah. They still don't know what they're going to do for Coach's Corner with Don Cherry. And this doesn't surprise me. I don't know if you saw that paragraph on it where they said it's going to be... Just this is from the president of Sportsnet. He's like... It will be inclusive and all-encompassing, like we've become, like our country is. I'm like, I can just imagine what this is going to look like. Sounds like the anti-Don Cherry. So they're not doing Don Cherry 2.0.
No. Saying all the right things, but they got, at the end of the day, their job is to find something entertaining to fill that time slot with. Entertaining and informative, and that's the bottom line. I don't know what they're going to do. We're so used to that for so long, and times change. We have to move on, but you have to find a way to reinvent that space. You have to, and it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Well, who knows? That's why I don't even literally care anymore. Like, when Cherry got smoked, we were all talking about who's going to be the next guy. Is it going to be Brian Burke, Tiger Williams? We ran a poll here. We should have known that in 2020 they would go off the board with how they're going to do it. Politically correct. But they're not the CBC. They shouldn't have to. Well, let's just wait and see what they do.
Yeah.
Was it going to be Speaker's Corner? Do you remember that back in the day?
That was
downtown Toronto. Yeah. Have the fans have their piece. That's inclusive.
It is.
I'm not anti-inclusive.
Is it entertaining? I don't know.
No.
Not really. It's good for about a 15-second hit, right? I mean, we even saw it on the PGA Tour in the first event back. CBS put up, I'm pretty sure it was CBS, put up the little microphone. The players could come by and say a little message. And it was really entertaining for about 15 seconds. They only ran three or four of them.
Yeah.
You can't fill a whole segment with that.
Colin in Ottawa writes, and he says, whatever happened to John Strachan on Hot Stove? His clashes with Mike Milbury were legendary. Well, it's Al Strachan.
He's on some remote island somewhere.
Oh, he's been banished somewhere. For something that didn't he write a book called What's Wrong with the Leafs? It was like the size of a telephone book.
Yeah.
And after that, Larry Tannenbaum had him put to death.
Shot him out into the middle of nowhere. Literally, he was on Don Cherry's podcast. I don't know if he was on there, but Don Cherry's like, I was talking to Al Strachan on the phone. Surprised he could get a phone and blah, 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 island. Like,
are
it was
serious?
Yeah. It was good.
But here's the We closed the show yesterday with how much fun this show is and why I don't have any desire to leave it. That's today's episode number 262. And I'll tell you why. Because the world of sports and entertainment is so, we can't offend anybody. We can't have any controversy. My middle name is Controversy. So I can't survive in the climate that is sports and entertainment right now. I'll wither up and die. And I was thinking about Theo this morning. You were there. We went to that dinner in Delisle last summer.
Yes.
The guy did 30 minutes of junior hockey stories and had the people rolling. I'm like, I didn't think anybody could do 30 minutes of WHL stories and be entertaining. But it's Theo, of course. I'm not sure that I could do it. But Theo said he would introduce himself to people back in the day as I'm the marketing director for the Moose Jaw Warriors. And when he said that, I'm in the crowd sitting beside you going, what the hell is he talking about? And he goes, no, I would say something about that stupid meathead in Regina at Stu Grimson in the Leader Post and sell both rinks out on the weekend. Right?
Yes.
That's what sells tickets.
They hired him to do
the
marketing.
But now the leagues don't want this. They don't want it. I don't understand it. It's that you're so afraid of a backlash. What are you afraid of? Oh, we're going to revolt. We're going to picket outside your station. We're going to boycott all your sponsors. Stand up to them. Have a backbone.
You have to. You have to. It's where, you know, you have to be okay not being liked by everybody. I mean, nobody that's had any type of success or has any type of platform is universally loved by everybody. It just doesn't exist, right? But everybody's afraid to have one piece of bad publicity.
Yes.
One hater. One bad tweet. Well, without those, that means nobody cares enough to even follow you or understand what you're saying. So haters is part of, you know, the price of admission. But can you imagine that dinner in Delisle with Dennis Hull and George LaRocque, how that would go over today? It's a different world.
They'd be arrested.
Like,
by the way, I want to say hi. My boy, Bob Marier, sober coach to the stars, says, hey, Rod, checking in from Miami. You've heard me talk about Bobby Marier.
Yes.
The sober coach to the stars. The guy that got me introduced to the business of sober coaching. Hello, Bob. I love you. Thank you. Which I've told this story before, but because Bob's watching from Miami, I'll say it again. I walked into the hall in Zenon Park, Saskatchewan. Do you know where that is?
Yeah.
It's way the hell a long ways away from here. I walked into this hall, and I walked up to Chris Nyland. Chris Knuckles Nyland. I'd never met him before. And if you know Nyland, I'm like, hey, Knuckles. And he turns and looks at me like, what the hell do you want? Like any, most of those guys would.
Yeah.
I said, we got a mutual friend, Bob Marier. And he just broke out. He goes, he trained me. And I said, just like he trained me. Shook. And then all of a sudden we're like this. And Don Koharski was the other speaker, typical referee. And Knuckles was literally like, Koharski, get out of here. And then it was me and Knuckles hip to hip all night. So Bob Marier was the guy that brought us together. Brooke Andrusik writes in, Rod always screams the truth. I'm just saying that I think it's getting very apparent to everybody why this show's succeeding. And I'm not saying that mainstream media is not. I'm just saying it's not necessarily at this time the place for me. Because people don't want to hear the truth. And to put on some bland intermission that's sponsored by the NHL, it's not entertaining. Like, you don't really want, I don't think the networks want that to be the time that you go take a leak or go to the fridge.
They
right?
Don't.
I don't think they want that. But, like, I was the guy that used to set my VCR every Saturday night for Don Cherry. It was literally doing mental math. It's around, game starts at 6. Should be about 6:30, I'll set the VCR. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I can't miss Don Cherry. But they had just emasculated him by the time it was done that it was not even worth watching anymore.
I know. And unfortunately, when you get into that spot of you're afraid of any type of backlash or hate.
It's what they all are.
And in social media, if you put yourself on TV, we put ourselves on
the
show.
That's how you got there.
Just the second you go on somewhere where there's an audience, somebody's going to hate, not agree with you. It's just going to happen. So if you don't want any hate, stay in your room with the door closed and the shades pulled and just hang out. And that's okay, too. But if you want to be out in public, if you want people to consume your product and your content, not everybody's going to enjoy it.
Carlos in Indianapolis. Carlos Legenda, this is where we'll leave it in hour one. He says, the outraged crowd tends to leave after a short period of time. No, I've had haters for a real, real long time, and they're not leaving. But guess what? Neither am I. As Bubba Wallace said, you can't take this smile off my face. You're not going to win. Next hour, former NFL wide receiver and current CFL free agent Rashawn Simonies and Joey Haywood of the pro basketball Fraser Valley Bandits. It's the RP Show. Canada's morning sports talk show continues after this break from the bunker in Western Canada on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, Rod Squad, now you can join the team with your very own RP Show gear. Head to rodpetersonshop.com and get yours today while supplies last. It's just like we wear on the show, official RP Show gear at rodpetersonshop.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body.
Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.